My next guest is on the line this afternoon. He is Brigadier General Dr. Ephraim Lapid. He's a senior research fellow at the Europa Institute and a former IDF spokesman. Brigadier General Ephraim Lapid, thanks for talking to me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Welcome.
At all times we knew that the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas was going to be a difficult agreement. I think many of us wondered whether it could be implemented or not. It didn't take long for bodies that had been promised, bodies of Israeli victims that Hamas undertook to return. They haven't done that. And then in the past couple of hours, Hamas has opened fire on Israeli troops, killing two and wounding three. How does this bode, in your opinion, for the rest of the ceasefire?
A ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is not a document between two entities, between two states. It's a document between, it's even not a document, it's an understanding between two entities, a state and a terror organization.
Sure.
And the involvement of United States, Egypt, Qatar, Turkey is the insurance of this arrangement. Hamas, even if it has a certain interest to keep a ceasefire, has not the ability to enforce it on all the sub-organizations in the area. And on top of it, we feel that Hamas has a very deep backing with Qatar, and especially Qatar and Turkey. We see the Turks sent these days a mission of a firm IHA, which was involved against Israel a few years ago. So the ceasefire is important, is vital to Israel. I'm sure that it is also vital to Hamas. But the challenge is very complicated.
Apparently, according to newspaper reports, it was rogue groups that were responsible for the firing on the Israeli troops. Newspapers like the New York Times are reporting it that way. Is that in fact the truth, or are people looking to excuse Hamas in order to ensure, to try to ensure that the ceasefire stays in place?
Yes, as I say, the involvement of others is vital to this ceasefire. We Israel has our forces with deep orders to keep it, but whenever there is a change or a cut of the ceasefire by Hamas, Israel will respond immediately.
So Israel did appear to respond immediately, and it appeared as if it was quite a strong response. Apparently they took up to 6 kilometers of tunnels, took out some very senior terrorists. How would you assess the effectiveness of the IDF response?
The continuity of the war now is something that no one can assess about the effectiveness. The system of tunnels in the area of Gaza is maybe unlimited, really unlimited. To think that the end of the war will be only by full full stop of acting from tunnels seems to be here impossible. I know that there's nothing in war that we can say impossible, but the backing of the Israeli public, the Israeli society, the backing of very many who were pro this war in the first stages now changed, and I feel that Israel will have the interest to keep a ceasefire, especially with the very, very immediate steps from United States to do it.
Doctor, were you surprised by this attack by Hamas or its proxy or rogue group or whatever it is that you want to call it? Or did you foresee something like this occurring?
I know that our authorities, the political and military authorities, assessed that this ceasefire is very sensitive and maybe cut very, very frequently, very frequent. But I think that basically the interest of two sides is to continue with this sensitive ceasefire.
I hear you. I understand you. I'm just not sure that Hamas see it that way. You know, the entire Arab world and most of the Muslim world, bar Iran, was sitting around that table and Sharm el-Sheikh signing on to an agreement. You would have thought a player like Qatar would have had an inordinate amount of influence on Hamas, certainly Hamas that's found in Qatar, and they would have been able to bring some sort of pressure to bear to ensure that these sorts of breaches would not occur. That was the surprise to me here. I thought the Muslim world had signed on to this and the ceasefire would remain in place. Surely at some point Israel is going to say, we can't lose two soldiers a day and pretend that everything is okay.
The summit conference in Sharm el-Sheikh was especially interested by Arab countries and by United States from economic point of view, from financial point of view, not from military and not from even not from political point of view. When the interests are economic,
Interesting.
I think that there is a hope that they will produce a certain understanding between Muslim countries, and we see that more and more countries are interested, including as a certain surprise, Lebanon. Lebanon asked also the president of Lebanon, General Aoun, initiated talks with Israel in order to have to create a certain agreement also between Lebanon, based on the understanding of Sharm el-Sheikh conference.
So then, given that you're a military man, what does this mean for Israel's military strategy in Gaza?
Our military strategy now is to limit the seven arenas. First time in our history that we face seven arenas of hatred and military activity. something that we can't afford. So Syria and Lebanon are more or less in under control. The Palestinian Authority in the West Bank is also more or less under control. Iran has its interested not only with Israel but with the United States and Europe, and Yemen for the time being, since they initiated the attack against Israel based on backing Hamas, when there is ceasefire there, the arena of Yemen is also, for the time being, under silent. So let's hope that the strategy, and not only the strategy, but also the operational situation, will be as it will continue as I described.
I hear you, Doc, but I'm also hearing that the bodies haven't been returned as promised. There were attacks on Israeli soldiers despite a ceasefire. Israeli reports today in the Times of Israel are asserting that Hamas has pretty much reasserted its control over Gaza. There's no ways this organization is going to agree to put down its arms and willfully leave the territory.
Gaza is a miracle. 2 million people, very miserable, very pity, very sacrifice every day, every day sacrifice their life for a certain organization that gives them only bad future, and they are still they don't have the ability to change the regime there. We think we think that the Palestinian Authority should be the regime in Gaza, like it is in the West Bank, and we see with all the limitations, we see that the West Bank, the people in the West Bank, has more or less a certain state of life that is much, much better than in Gaza.
Interesting times. I hope you're right. Thank you for chatting to me, Dr. Ephraim Lapid.